I feel like we've all been taught to be scared of the sun, avoid it, reapply constantly, cover up immediately. But recently, I started questioning that. The sun actually plays a role in things like your mood, sleep, and hormones. So I'm not avoiding it anymore. I'm just more intentional about what I put on my skin when I'm in it. A lot of conventional SPFs are filled with things like hormone-disrupting chemicals, seed oils, and synthetic ingredients, so I started looking for something simpler. That's what led me to Primally Pure's SPF. It's super minimal, only 9 ingredients, using non-nano zinc, plus really nourishing things like tallow and mango butter. I've been using their sun cream, and it honestly feels more like skincare than sunscreen. Lightweight, not chalky, and just easy to wear. So if you've been rethinking your sunscreen, Primally Pure is one of the best places to start.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. What is up? And welcome into Attacking Third alongside Jen Beattie and Darian Jenkins. I'm Lisa Carlin. Today's Attacking Third presented by Tylenol, the official pain reliever of the NWSL. Thanks, y'all, for hanging with us on YouTube, as a podcast, watching on Galazzo Network, all the places. We appreciate you. Join the combo in the chat on YouTube right now because it's already going off. People are chit-chatting with each other, and I love it. I love to see it. We've got a good one today. Despite being in an NWSL break, we're still diving into this a little bit. We're giving mid-season grades. How have teams done after the first, you know, couple weeks of the season? And we're heading into a transfer window in the league. What do teams need? We'll tell you everything. Plus, we have a very, very special interview. Scarlett Cambreros is going to join the pod later on today. It is June. It's our first A3 of June. So happy Pride Month to everyone, which is very exciting. So if you are with us and in the chat on YouTube, drop some rainbow flags in the chat. Let's go. I want to see them, guys. It's a good one to be here with you, Jen and Dee. Good morning. Darian, you're somewhere different. Where the heck are you? It looks beautiful behind you. We don't see your usual Orlando kit behind you.
Yeah, you don't hear the chickens behind me. There's a full ranch going on. I know if you're listening as a pod, you can't see, but there's chickens. There's the donkeys are in the front yard, I think. I'm visiting home. So my mom has, each child has moved out, has acquired more and more farm animals. She's become kind of a farm lady. So it's chaos over here. It is very, very opposite of me, but it's fun to come visit. So if you hear the animals, just know that that's what's going on behind me through this window.
What new additions on the farm do we have?
Well, because they have to come in pairs, she has two donkeys. I'm trying to remember the names. Pearl and Poncho. And then she got two mini horses. I'll send a picture. I'll post a picture on my story. Choncho and Mabel.
Cute.
Amazing names. Amazing names.
Choncho and Poncho is, I'm like, that's confusing. But
yeah, that's a little confusing. Yeah. It's awesome though. You're like Farmer Darian. Okay. At it again.
Oh yeah. I went and helped her switch the sprinklers yesterday. I like fell in the water. It's a whole thing. You guys would laugh.
Kind of like Hannah Montana going back to the farm.
Like it's like how do you switch NYC to a farm?
Yeah, guys, it's not, I don't know, I'm a new woman. Yeah, come here. Yeah.
I love it. Well, it's a beautiful view for us watching and for me. I love it. Jen, you have been all over the place. I've watched you on Morning Footy this week, all over the Galazzo Network, but you laced up them boots again. You were back out on the pitch. What were you doing?
I did. It was so much fun, guys, I will say. I missed the game so much. So to be asked to play in Soccer Aid, which is a charity match which raises so much money for UNICEF. Incredible job. They smashed the record. They raised £16 million this year, And the work that they do, basically helping children around the world in crisis areas. I learned so much about it over the entire weekend. And that's honestly, this is why these kind of events are just incredible, because it brings a sport like football, and we all miss that community, right? We all miss being a part of it. And that's what it does. It brings people together, fighting and raising money for an incredible cause. And I was so proud to be a part of it. And of course, to do it with my partner, Ali, and, you know, experience that together. Pride Month's just started. So to be able to do that as a couple was truly, truly awesome. It was one of the best experiences.
Oh, were you guys competing for playing time?
Well, the competitors in us were like, oh my gosh, we'd love to go back on, or, you know, who's going to start what this and that. But there's so many players, like, and everyone has to get game time, of course, at charity. So we set that aside, guys. We're not there. It was very much less.
How'd you do, Jen? Score any goals? Did you win games? Like,
guys,
what are the stats?
When I tell you I was nervous, I can't even, like, one of my shots hit row Z, which I'm kind of embarrassed about, or Z, as you guys say. But you'll love this. You know how we were making fun of Hannah for giving Alexia Pateas a thumbs up?
Yeah.
Jordi Alba gave me a thumbs up.
No way.
And in that moment, I had a Hannah Cash moment. I was like, yes, Jordi.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but it was so much fun sharing the pitch. Do you know what? It's just so many different industries all coming together, like actors, comedians, just celebrities, former footballers. So to share the pitch and have fun with, you know, Jordi Alba, Berbatov, Matic was crazy. Just insane.
So
I was
cool.
Like, as long as I put a pass together, I'm good. Like, get me off.
And they're like, oh my gosh, I'm playing with Jen Beattie. Like, yeah, it goes
both
ways.
Sure. You know what? I'm not sure. I'm
sure, Jen. Oh, I'm sure of it. Well, that's awesome. I love hearing about it. Thank you. Super cool, guys. We have a lot to talk about today, a lot to dive into. And we're going to start with some news that is a very big hot topic right now overseas in England, because Katie McCabe, after 11 years with Arsenal, she made the switch across London to sign with Chelsea. And after this signing, there has been a lot of controversy online, a lot of opinions, a lot of memes that are funny, but some fans feeling super betrayed. There was also a little bit of conversation about how this trade came about. Our Arsenal had an option, but it was never announced that she was leaving. And then very late in the final minute, Arsenal came in and they did offer her a 1-year extension, but that came so late. And so she made this move to Chelsea. There's been a lot of chatter about this, Jen, about what's happening. And in terms of, like, a player at this caliber, at where she is in her stage, to make this move after spending over a decade with the Gunners to now go to the Blues, what do you make of all of this move for Katie McCabe?
Yeah, look, I totally understand the controversy of it. You know, going to a rival team is something that fans will be gutted about, but it's not new in football. Like, we've seen players, men and women, do it countless times across the game. So I kind of think from that respect, she's done what she was right for her. And I think that's also really important to say. And I do get it. Look, she's been involved in some controversial moments which don't help the hate that, you know, fans, when they become annoyed about certain things, whether it's the throw in to Chloe Kelly, and then that became a bit of a conversation when Chloe Kelly signed for Arsenal. And then most recently, the hair pull was a big topic in the women's football game, Champions League, two WSL teams going head-to-head, and the referee kind of not calling that. It became a whole thing at World Sevens. It's becoming a whole thing now because Katie is obviously signed for Chelsea. But I honestly think she'll be gutted to have left Arsenal. And she, you know, there's taking nothing away from how much the club means to her. Mm-hmm. I ultimately think she was put in a situation and has done what's best for her. And I think as a former player, where you ultimately do have to make some selfish decisions, I think the controversy is a little bit unfair for her. And she's still signing for an incredible club who have dominated English football for such a long time. But listen, I'm a fan now. I get it. Nobody wants to see their favorite player, you know, from a fan perspective, go to a rival club. So I get that. But I don't think she deserves the heightened that it's got to, because so many players have moved from rival teams and ultimately she might want to stay in London. She still wants to play at a top club. She still wants to play in Champions League football. That does narrow it down to the amount of teams. So, you know, there's still a huge move for her. So the fact that it's been taken away and made so negative, I do feel for her.
Yeah, people need to relax.
Like, she said,
people need to fully relax. To me, it's ridiculous. Even Eugene, you brought up World Sevens. The Chelsea players are making fun of the moment, light of the moment. Nobody needs to be going at people's families, people online that don't know the actual inner workings of the timing of this, what's offered, when the timing of the offers came, the longevity of the offers. And you look at the age that she is, she's 30. You don't want to sign a one-year contract at 30 years old. As soon as you sign, you're already thinking of what's next. What do you have to do to try to sign another contract? You want some comfortability. You want some security. You want to get paid. This is a very decorated, strong player. And yes, I can understand it's the controversy. Yes, the kind of heartbreak you can feel that she is leaving and going to a rival club. Absolutely. Let's think about what that means for when she does come back and play. You still get to see her. You still get to see those rivalries, that spiciness, the flair that she brings, the special player that she is. But this online BS of going at her and her family for truly doing what's right for you at the age of 30 as a professional women's footballer, shut up. Let her go do what she's going to do. And she's still going to go ball out. So, I'm looking forward to seeing her in a Chelsea kit. The storylines, the flair that we're still going to get from this player on a different team is going to be amazing. And Arsenal, sad to see her go, but they're also making a lot of changes. You see who they're signing, they're bringing in.
And if you're a player with a club making that many changes, like maybe you don't want to stay, especially if you're not part of like the future that is set in concrete with that club. Go somewhere else. And that's the thing with women's football. Players are being paid more and there are more resources and you are being set up for more success, but it is nowhere near the amount of security that men's players have once they retire. And so when you're playing, you need to make sure that you're also doing the best thing for yourself. And that means getting paid so that you can have some stability after you're done playing and move forward. There's so much that goes into it. Darian, you said it so well. Katie McCabe, I wish you all the best, my friend. We get to still watch you week in and week out. And that's what I'm excited about. You're staying around the game and we get to see all the shenanigans that you bring to it because it is some of my favorite parts about it. We'll keep you guys updated on everything that's happening and trades and transfers, of course, around the world of football. But we got to talk some NWSL because we are at a very important part of the season. A third of the way through, we're now at the mid-season break that'll happen for an entire month. It's a month-long pause. So we're going to reflect. Take a look back at this first trimester, if you will, and give some grades out. We're going to start from the bottom of the table and move our way up. And Jen, we are doing the American grading system. So we're going A, B, C, D, F. You got it?
Pluses and minuses?
Throw in some pluses and minuses. Right. Absolutely. But you're going to have to leave your Scottish education back in the homeland for this segment.
Got it. So F is like a hard fail, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Good right. job.
And what's A, Jen?
Pardon?
And A is all the way at the top. Oh. You did perfect.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh my goodness. Is that a song you sang in high school?
You know what came to my mind? Did you guys watch SpongeBob? F is for friends who do stuff together.
Oh my gosh. All right, let's give out our NWSL mid-season grades. We're starting at the bottom of the table, Racing Louisville. They are in last place. They've been very inconsistent. Only two wins on the year. They came over Orlando and Portland. Darian, what are you thinking about for this Racing Louisville team?
Oh, man. After the fight, year over year, ninth place heroes, making it to playoffs last year, to then being dead last, conceding 20, scoring 15.
They haven't had a single clean sheet this season.
Guys, I'm going to give them a D.
I was thinking
this is a huge drop off from how last season ended in playoffs, Bev getting coach of the year, which I think it's kind of goes beyond, it goes beyond her coaching. I think that Louisville has always been plagued by not being able to retain players that are true game changers, that are club defining players. Mm-hmm. And I think they need a lot to bolster to be a competitive team defensively. You cannot leak goals like this. And in the attack, you need to consistently score. So yeah, I'm going with D's going with a D.
Yeah. I had a D minus. I'm right there with you. I think that the no clean sheets is really bad. That's if there's one thing you can do in a game, like everyone just sits back, don't score any goals, and like make sure you don't concede. It's been rough for Louisville.
Yeah. I think their biggest positive is still they score a lot of goals.
Yeah. 15 they've put away.
Yeah.
It's 10 more than Chicago.
That's what I'm saying. They score so many goals from teams higher up than them. So for me, the worries are absolutely defensively. I'm sticking with D.
I like it. All right, Jen, you gave a little teaser there. Chicago Stars are next. They have wins over Bay, Boston, and Kansas City this year. Two of those wins were shutouts, but they have only scored five goals, and only one of them have come from Mallory Swanson, but she's only played three games. It's rough in Chicago, Jen. What's your grade?
I mean, the fact that they beat Kansas, I still can't really get over that one.
To me, that says more about Kansas, though.
Yeah, sure, 100%.
I'm still, this grading's so difficult. I might actually rank them lower than Louisville. I'm going D minus.
Mm. So I'm going to make an argument to give Chicago a plus, Larry. A D plus. They just parted ways with their GM, Richard Fuez.
They're trying.
And to me, that feels like a step in the right direction, at least off the field, to maybe bring in some players in this summer. And maybe that's looking ahead and we're not grading on a curve. So they should be at a D minus, but I'm just saying, like, they did say we are done with our GM in order to look towards brighter futures.
I'm also rocking with a D plus. I think at least we're seeing them initiate change. They're still a D because I feel for the players of Chicago, because year over year, I feel that we talk about this and that they actually have quality players, but they play the style that is so expansive and open, and they're not scoring goals, but are you getting the best out of Jordan Heidema in the way that you play? And there's just not a lot that makes sense with the good players that they have and making them come together in the style of play that they need. So I'm hopeful with a new GM coming in with a transfer window open.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with the D plus as well.
I'm doing D plus for Chicago. All right, cool. Let's move on to Boston Legacy. Just two wins on the year over Orlando and Denver, but they did pick up some draws and take points off teams like North Carolina, Gotham, and Bay. To me, Boston feels like they have an established style. They have all these international players in. They're going to be competitive. They want to keep possession. They're going to be physical. They want to play with the ball and try to compete. And they are an expansion side. And they're third from the bottom. I feel like the expectations are, which is bad to say, but this doesn't make them a great team, Darian, by any means. But that's kind of where I stand with this Boston team right now.
Wait, so what are you grading them? What's the grade?
I'm a D.
You also, wow.
What is that going to be?
Yeah, these are new. Oh, I will give Boston, I'm going to give Boston a C minus. A C minus, just to break up all of the D's that we're giving, but also because this is a team that you can see what they're trying to do.
Yes.
You can fully see they're aggressive, they're physical, they're going to hit them on a counter. They're going to take 20 something shots no matter who they're playing against. They're fearless in that way. They do leak goals. They are getting reds. They're giving up a lot of fouls because they are an aggressive team. But I think we can see at least what their Philip Atau and the entire team is bought in and trying to do. And I think that's why I'm comfortable giving them the C minus. Is it pretty and fully coming together? No, but you're not last.
I think I'm still a D. I feel like they started slow, and I feel like they were really struggling at the start and then finally fought for that win that they eventually got. You could see how much that meant when they did. So I feel like that has built them momentum, but still still a D for me.
When the conversation around your team is about how many red cards a player has had and like how many times they've been sat out, like that to me is just like not great. You got to get on a different track. So we're going D with this one. Two to one D. Sorry about this one. I'll give you Bay FC though. Where do you want to go with Bay FC? Three wins on the year over San Diego, lead leaguers, North Carolina, who's top of the table too, and Denver, who's, you know, an expansion side that's competing this year. It's not nothing, but Bay FC, what do you give them?
A solid C. Bay get a solid C from me. Again, Bay has moments of really beautiful football. You watched their last match against Orlando where they can break things down. They're really clean. They switch the point of the attack. But they don't score enough. They don't look threatening enough. You wonder who on earth is going to score on this team, who is hungry. And it seems like they just doesn't have confidence in the final third. And to me, that's hopeful. Maybe in this break, they can acquire that. They can push Claire Hutton up higher because I can see her frustration on the pitch. To me, she's the maestro of the team. And they just need to get a player that's hungry to score and fearless in the attack. And I actually think that would completely flip them from a C to, like, I'll say a B. We'll jump a whole letter group.
That's what they are.
That's confident up there.
Bay's been trying to do that for 3 years, right? Yeah. In the NWSL, like, they are a big market. They should be able to get a superstar forward that is a franchise forward that can just score all these goals. They have 9 goals on the year, Bay FC. Their top goal scorer and contributor is 18-year-old Alex Pfeiffer.
Yeah,
she's only played 4 games and she has 2 goals, 2 assists. So what are you doing without her then?
Well, also you have Rachel Kundanagi. Why they? It's not like Bay doesn't have good players, but it's to me, it's always been like, Jen, I don't know if when you played there, you felt this way, but almost just a severe lack of belief in the attack.
Well,
doesn't translate to the game.
I just still think they've gone through so many changes and within their roster, and it's hard to kind of develop any sort of consistency when that happens over quick successions. I look at, you know, from even my time there, which wasn't that long ago, and there barely any players are the same now. So there's been a lot of change from season to season. So to find that click, to find that cohesion is really, really difficult. I think especially when you have centre-backs out on maternity that are still big players missing from the back. And then, like you said, Kuden and Angie not really... just can't find that cohesion with other players. So I think it's from top to bottom for me. I think they're missing an out-and-out striker and centre-backs. They can keep it consistent at the back. So I think for me, it's still a C.
Yeah, C is good. Yeah. I like that one. Angel City, they have wins over Kansas City, Chicago, Bay, Houston. They started the season hot, hot, hot. It was 3-0. And then they just plummeted. They lost their next 4. They struggled to score. But they do have a positive goal differential because their defense has only allowed 14 goals against. But Jen, when you think of Angel City, what's the grade for them that you're giving?
You know what? This is what's so difficult because the start of the season, they were awesome. They were so great to watch. Jan's daughter was absolutely flying. I do want to rank them higher from this because of their start, though. I don't understand the drop-off. Like, you can't peak in 1 month and then think that's going to be great over the entire season. But for the draw, I'm struggling with this one. I think I'm still in the C bracket. I think I'm C minus because of the drop off.
Ooh, I had a C written down. I like a C minus. I'm okay with it. They need to get more out of their forwards. Riley Tiernan has 1 goal. Their leading goal scorer is their outside back, Giselle Thompson, which, like, no shade to her. She should be scoring all the goals, but that's not good enough for their forwards and their front line.
Yeah, I'm good with the C minus. I know we're going to dive into more of them later, but they're so reliant on Yon's daughter that when she's not on the pitch, it's a different team. And that just, there shouldn't be that big of a drop off if she's not 100% on the pitch. So C minus, I'm down.
Agreed. C minus. All right, Darian, Houston Dash, you're taking them for us. They have won over Angel City, Louisville, Boston, and San Diego. They beat San Diego and then they drew San Diego, top of the table team, but they're still in the bottom half of the table.
Still in the bottom half, scoring 14, conceding 19. The way that Houston concedes goals and kind of gives up games is so frustrating to watch because they can be so brilliant at times. And then I'm just like, wait, what the hell happened? where did was it, who's this team that came out at halftime?
Yeah,
I'm gonna give them a C plus. This is an improvement from years prior. They've started stronger. Yeah, a C plus. We can go with a C if you guys are more comfortable with that. But
no, I'll rock with it.
No, I'm good with the C plus. I like that for Houston. Right. Seattle Reign. They sit in 10th right now in the standings. They've wins over Boston, Louisville, Kansas City, and Orlando. They're tied for the fourth fewest goals conceded, Jen, but they have struggled to score goals. They only have 10 on the year. That is the third fewest in the NWSL. Feels like the same old story for Seattle that they've struggled with the last couple of years. What's your grade for the Reign?
Yeah, they're just missing that creative edge, but they're not far off it. I think they, flip-flopped in formations. I'm going B minus.
Ooh.
I actually feel that was kind of generous.
That's high. High. You're giving them a curve.
I feel like we're working our way up the standing. So I'm just like going C plus, B.
Yeah. I think with Jess Fishlock being out, I would go lower. I would go with C plus because again, it's a team that you rely so much on one player to dictate everything for your team that as soon as they're not there, there's a complete drop off. But they're a team that, hey, if you're not scoring goals, at least be stingy defensively. And they've done a good job at that.
They have done that. I'm with a C plus on this one for Seattle Reign. Now we have Denver Summit. They're 9th in the standings, just one spot outside the playoff position. Jen, this is where I went to the top half of the grading system. I gave Denver a B. They have wins over Louisville, Orlando, Houston, and Gotham. They're playing a entertaining brand of football. The pickups for Delaney Sheehan and Yasmin Ryan were great gets, immediately contributing. And they share the load offensively with Kussler, Flint, Sonis, all with 4 goals. Ryan has 2. And they're an expansion team. I'm going with a B. Darren, what'd you have?
Give me a B. I'm agreed. Yep.
All right. B's all around. I've got a soft spot for Denver. I've enjoyed watching them from the start. Home crowd, insane style of play, identity, and top midfielder coming in after the break. So
I know
for Heaps.
Terrifying to think about how Denver is only their grades only going to go up once they get Heaps into their roster. That does it. Our first half of the season, first third of the season, mid-season grades for the NWSL. Let us know what you thought of them. Were they good? Were they bad? Too harsh? Too kind? Let us know and stick with us right here on Attacking Third. We have a very special interview joining us next.
If you've ever tried putting sunscreen on kids, you know it can turn into a full negotiation or a meltdown. It used to be a bit of a battle for us until I found Primally Pure Sunstick. It's super quick, no mess, no rubbing anything in forever. You just swipe it on and you're done. It's mineral-based with non-nano zinc and really simple ingredients, which I feel good about using on my kids. It's just clean, easy coverage that doesn't slow us down. So if you've ever stood there reading the back of a sunscreen bottle, shop Primally Pure's SPF collection for simple, non-toxic ingredients you can trust.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, Welcome back to Attacking Third. We are so excited now to have a very special guest joining the show. She is the Liga MX Femenil Clausura champion, CONCACAF W Champions Cup winner, Club America forward, Scarlett Cambreros. Hi, Scarlett. Welcome into A3.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we are so excited to chat with you. Congrats. I just listed off some of the championships that you have won this year, two of them back to back, the league championship with your team and then the W Champions Cup. Congratulations. I want to know, because every team, every championship, every run is so different. How would you describe this team and this championship run?
Yeah, I think we've had a hard time in finals, but I feel like it was all worth it. And I feel like we just needed this one to like build up confidence, like go into finals and like, hey, we can win them, you know? And then I think also like the players that we've gotten, like JC and Gabby Garcia and Issa has like, they've provided a more competitive edge that I think we were missing. And that was really important for us too. So I think like it's only up from here. And it kind of feels like we're stepping into like a new era as a team. So that's cool.
Scar, have you had your coffee yet? You woken up?
No.
Still early over there.
Yeah, a little bit. It's because I've been sleeping in.
I want to know about the fan base, mate, because it looks absolutely incredible over there. And you know, the league figures, people tuning in, the watching figures, smashing every other league at the park. What is so special to play for the club, and what's the fan base like across the entire league?
Yeah, no, it's insane. We have the best fans for sure. But yeah, even when we're playing in the US for scrimmages or something, like we get a ton of fans coming to the stadiums, and it's super cool. And it's something really different, and like something that, like when I played in the NWSL, it's a little different, you know, like they're so passionate about soccer because it's like all they see over there. Like no other sport really exists over there. So it's like so soccer centered. And honestly, like their support, it's amazing. Like we wouldn't have won the finals without them being there cheering us on. So yeah, it's really cool.
Scarlett, I wanted to ask about, you know, you're one of the few players that has played in the NWSL, left the NWSL to go play with Club America. You beat two NWSL teams to win a trophy. I mean, how validating is that for you that you've made the right decision? And also, how good did it feel to dominate those matches?
Yeah, I think our style of play is we have an identity as a team. Like we like to play soccer. We like to have the ball. And yeah, like as I was saying, like the additions that we've had on the team have helped us so much. But yeah, I think creatively, I was having a hard time being myself in the NWSL and playing like myself. And I think like the best I felt as a soccer player was at Club America. I have that freedom to be the player that I want to be. So coming back, I had to find that. It took me a while. So it took me like a year, maybe a year and a half to like come, like build my confidence back, like be the player that I wanted to be. And I'm so glad I did. And honestly, our team is so good. The way that we play soccer, I love it. I enjoy playing. So yeah, it is very validating and it's really cool. And yeah, we're just excited. We're excited that we made history as a Mexican soccer team and that we're able to play in the Club World Cup. That's something so different and so important for our club. So yeah, that's really cool.
Scarlett, it is so cool. It's so cool. the semifinal and then the final on Galazzo Network and CBS Sports. And as Jen talked about the fans, like the entire stadium was Yellow America jerseys. Like it was so loud for you guys. And you talking about how you're able to play so much more free and you enjoy playing, it's very evident watching it. Mm-hmm. And the fact that America wins this, it's a Liga MX team that does win it, it kind of makes a statement to the rest of the world, because there have been so much controversy and debate. What is the best league in the world? Is it the NWSL? Is it Liga MX? Is it the WSL? What statement does this win tell the world about America and Mexican football?
Yeah, I think that our league is growing every season, and we have really good teams on in this league. Yeah, I mean, Pachuca, they also beat Gotham. So that's really important to kind of like put ourselves on the map and be like, hey, we're here and we're also like, we're pretty good. So watch out. And yeah, that's really cool. And I think the way that we also did it, like Gotham, it wasn't like a 1-0 game or 2-0. And I think like Washington Spirit, we dominated a lot of the game. So that's really cool for us. And it's really important. And hopefully like people start looking at our league and being like, hey, like this is actually a really good league as well, you know? So yeah.
100%. Scarlett, obviously we played at BFC and for a short spell. And when I saw you club captain, I was just so buzzing for you. And I'd love to ask about how you kind of described finding your identity again, going back and playing in Mexico, and how you've kind of discovered that as a captain. And how do you think you would describe your sort of leadership style? Because you're still a young captain, and it's incredible to see. So how would you describe that, and how have you kind of grown into that role?
Yeah, I think, I was also named captain before I left because of another situation. I went to Angel City. So I was captain for like a short period, like maybe 6 games before I left to play in the NWSL. So I was already ready to take on that role then. And then coming back from Bay, yeah, I think I was struggling. I wanted to find myself again as a soccer player and like get back to feeling good. And I was getting there. And once my coach asked me like how I would feel being a captain, because he thinks like I'm very competitive at training day to day and during games. It's like I want to win in everything that I do and the activations that we do. Like I get mad if I don't. And I think we were kind of missing that a little bit. Like the team needed to be more competitive in everything that we did. I think we were missing that a bit. So I think that was really important for him. And I'm also very vocal. I'm very direct. And yeah, so I think that was also a factor of why he wanted me as a captain. And I'm still growing. I'm still maturing. I'm still like growing as a soccer player and as a person, and there's certain things that I want to be better at, but I think I have that. I want to better all of those things, and I know what I need to do as a captain, as a leader, to grow. And then like I hopefully in a few years people are like, whoa, she's a great captain, because I hopefully they're saying that now, but like I still have a few things I need to better. And I think that's important also to have someone that wants to be continuously getting better and like at training and outside of that. So yeah.
Scarlett, people are absolutely saying that you're a great captain. Oh, sure. You're double with the team leading as captain. So we want to give you your flowers. But I love asking forwards this, because you talked about finding yourself again and finding confidence and it taking a lot of time. And now you're scoring goals, you're racking up assists, you're winning championships. Do you have a favorite goal that you've scored this last season?
Good question. Maybe the last one in the final against Monterrey, the penalty kick, it was just like a relief. We were like literally like seconds, minutes away from winning the championship. And it's taken us so much like fight. And it's been like a lot of finals where we end up like distraught, crying. And it was like, oh, it was all worth it, you know?
Yeah, you guys have come so close so many times. So how'd you celebrate after all these wins? What'd you guys do?
I cried. Immediate reaction. Yeah. It was really cool. And then to celebrate with my family too, it was awesome.
Yeah, that's sick. So now Jen asked you a little bit at the beginning, but like you're sleeping in, like what does life look like now? And this off season, are you taking some time to rest? Like what's your day to day right now?
Yeah, rest 100%. I think that was also a part of why I didn't go to camp. I was just like all season I was dealing with chronic pain, like my knee and my feet. So I think right now the most important thing is just resting. So yeah, sleeping in, like hanging out with my dog, with my mom and chilling.
I love it. Yeah. Congratulations. So you did play with Jen. She's our teammate now here at A3 and on Galazzo Network. Do you have any good Jen?
Where are you going with this?
I don't know. It's wherever Scarlett wants to go with it. Any good Jen BD stories for us that you could share, Scarlett?
No, Jen's awesome, but I felt like we needed more time together. Like, get more. Yeah.
Well, I actually couldn't believe it was only 6 months.
Yeah. It was only 6 months. I thought it was like 4.
Yeah, she's buying time to think, Scarlett. See, Scarlett's clever. She's a good story now. So then hopefully she's like, yeah, gotten that.
No, I liked our little meetings before training with our coffees and we're just chilling outside. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss some coffee mornings. No, we had a good laugh. See?
Yeah.
You got nothing on me. See? You got nothing.
We'll talk offline, Scarlett. We'll talk offline. Yeah. Congratulations, Scarlett. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us on A3 and congrats. Go celebrate with your family, sleep in, rest, recharge a little bit. We are so excited to see you back out there next year.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're the best. Yeah. Keep smashing it.
It's so fun to chat with her and the champions of Mexico. I think it's such a statement that two Mexican teams beat two NWSL teams in the semis, and the third place team, and then the championship. I mean, that says a lot about Mexican football, Darian. Like, and even she's talking about it like that.
Yo, we always talk, NWSL, WSL, Liga Mequis, y'all. We are going to be throwing them into the conversation. It's a shame we haven't before now, but I think this was just the cherry on top of, they beat two big NWSL teams, the last teams in the championship of the NWSL.
I know.
With conviction, it is huge. Jen, shout out. Thanks for getting her on for us. She's a great interview.
She's awesome. And I think when you're lucky enough to be teammates, still keep in touch. I knew I could shoot her a message and if she'd be up for coming on, and thankfully she was. But I think it's like anything. When you see a former teammate do so well and be so successful, three goals in a semi-final, two assists in a final, the viewing figures smashing every other league in the women's game. I was like, Scarlett, you got to come on and have a chat. So I didn't get to see it personally, but for me, I'm so proud of her. She's awesome. And yeah, to keep doing what she's doing.
Huge. Not only did she help her team win the Clausura, but then the W Champions Cup, she was also named best player of the CONCACAF W Champions Cup for her 9-goal contributions. Stellar. So impressive from that player. So thank you, Scarlett, for joining us and hanging with us. Guys, stick with us. We got one more segment. We're wrapping up NWSL conversations. We're picking team needs for this summer window. Stick with us. You're going to want to hear it.
I feel like we've all been taught to be scared of the sun. Avoid it, reapply constantly, cover up immediately. But recently, I started questioning that. The sun actually plays a role in things like your mood, sleep, and hormones. So I'm not avoiding it anymore. I'm just more intentional about what I put on my skin when I'm in it. A lot of conventional SPFs are filled with things like hormone-disrupting chemicals, seed oils, and synthetic ingredients. So I started looking for something simpler. That's what led me to Primally Pure's SPF. It's super minimal, only 9 ingredients, using non-nano zinc, plus really nourishing things like tallow and mango butter. I've been using their sun cream, and it honestly feels more like skincare than sunscreen. Lightweight, not chalky, and just easy to wear. So if you've been rethinking your sunscreen, Primally Pure is one of the best places to start.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back to Attacking Third, presented by Tylenol, the official pain reliever of the NWSL. We are doing our NWSL transfer market needs. The transfer market is about to open. Every team needs something, but we're starting with the bottom, the teams that need the most. And we are going to run through and give you everything they need. All right, Dee, you are kicking us off from the cellar with Racing Louisville. What do they need?
Racing Louisville, we kind of talked about them before of what they need, what's going wrong. And ultimately, they are scoring more than they're conceding, but they're still, they are scoring less than they're conceding. And that to me is a huge issue. Jen, you said defensively, they need a strong center back pairing. I think they need maybe another center back that's going to come in and be a true leader. I think with Sav DeMello being out and being sort of a link between the lines and that helps break up play, maintain possession of the ball has been huge. So the two positions, another center back and a 10 to come in for Louisville. I think that that's been a huge, huge issue for them that you can see when they're building up. Each team that's successful in the NWSL has a number 10 that is okay dribbling and breaking lines, holding on to the ball, knowing when to dish it, knowing when to bring it back. And I think they're missing that decision maker and then just, again, being locked tight defensively. And that's why, to me, they're in last place right now.
Yeah, I like the shout for a 10 for Racing Louisville. That would do wonders just connecting the lines for them a little bit. That's a good one.
I do agree defensively, whereas need to be solid, though.
Yeah.
All right, Jen. You got Chicago?
Chicago need a number 9. Simple as that for me. I think with Ludmila leaving, it's just been a gap. And regardless of other quality they have in the wide areas, I think an out-and-out striker should be the number 1 of how they look to kind of move going forward. I could also say a holding 6 because I just think...
Yes,
that's what I was thinking for that.
There's just gaps. Mm-hmm. And out holding 6 just to kind of keep everything together in the midfield. Like, yeah.
I would also say Chicago needs like another winger.
Another one.
Chicago almost needs reinforcement in every position to me to push competition. I mean, Garris is typically an outside back. That's what we've seen her, and she's playing a winger. They just need...
They're dealing with a lot of injuries, too. Like, Michelle Lozia has been injured a bit. Aaliyah Farmer has been good for them, but she was dealing with some injuries, too.
They need club-defining players to be on that team. Yeah. They need some...
Outside of Swanson.
Outside of Swanson. And also, a new style of play that serves Jordan Heidema being their 9. If that's what they're rocking with, change so you get the best out of her. She needs service.
I think a 6 would really help them because Heidema, she has been dropping so deep in the midfield for Chicago just to get on the ball. And I want her higher. You need some more reinforcements centrally to then, I agree, D, help out Jordan Heitema. I mean, there's a lot that Chicago could get.
Sandra's saying, come to Chicago, Jen. Come to Chicago, Darian. Sandra, how much are you paying us?
Yeah, the boots back out. Wait.
Love it.
Do they want us both? Mate, double signing. Let's go.
Jen's in, I'm in.
Guys, that would be legit. I don't know. Attacking Third would have to release you from your contracts. I don't know if that would happen.
Yeah.
All right. I've got Boston Legacy. Boston. They need a goal scorer, an out-and-out striker that is just going to find the back of the net consistently because they do have good build-up. They have good moments throughout the center of the field and working the ball up. They also have money and they're willing to spend. They've been very evident about that. go get someone that's going to be a finisher, a poacher. It's someone that's going to like hang in the box, someone like a Bunny Shaw that's going to just bully everyone in the front line and find the back of the net. To me, that's like one of the easiest fixes that Boston can have because they have good wingers that can send crosses in. I do think they have really good pieces in the midfield to put the ball up to them, but they don't have anyone that's just going to be their superstar goal scorer. They need a star. They really do.
Yeah. I would also say they need another layer in defense. They don't have speed in the back, and the way that they play this like big expansive three back is bold. Look, I respect the way Boston play because they play. They are fearless in the way they play, but I think they need some reinforcement in the back. But I love the shout for a nine.
Yeah.
Is it me, Maya?
No, I think it's Jen with Bay.
Yeah, Bay aren't far off. I think Emma Coates is doing a great structural job with them. Look organized, look well drilled. It's still on the forward line again for me. I spoke about it earlier. The number nine and the centre back pairing just doesn't look as in terms of feeding the balls, defensive actions, Kudananji being on the right page as everyone else. I still think it's an attacking force for me. I think they look pretty structurally sound in terms of defensive shape. And if they just had a well-drilled number nine, not relying on certain players, I think that's key for me. But this is hard.
Yeah. A lot of teams just need a striker.
Segment.
A lot of teams need a striker. Like Bay needs another striker.
One of the most expensive players are the strikers. Because if you have an out-and-out goal scorer, that's why they ain't paying the centre backs the same as the strikers. Well, striker.
Angel City, Darian, what do they need?
Sorry, I was laughing at Jen. Angel City, more attacking power.
If Spendis
is out, you read it, Jen. If Spendis is out, who is scoring goals? Riley Tiernan's doing the best that she can. I think she likes to be on the ball. She likes a lot of touches. She's not that out-and-out striker in her second year that Angel City needs. And to me, if Svennis Jonsdottir is back, if Riley Tiernan's back, they can play on the wing channels, offer something different. A Sam Kerr-esque player in L.A., Disney, big investors, massive opportunity. To me, that's a type of player that they are missing. Someone that can come back, link play, desire to get into the 18 and finish some goals. That's what Angel City has been missing.
Because their striker right now is Tiernan. And she's having a sophomore slump.
She likes a lot of touches. Yeah. I don't know if that's her best position with who they have on the pitch right now. I think she is better on a wing channel where she can go 1v1.
They have too many wingers, though. Claire Emsley's coming back. June Endo slots into that role a lot, too. They have too many freaking wingers. They need to like figure out their style of play or what they're doing, especially with
Giselle Johnson. Someone needs to step up and score goals. That's not a bad problem to have too many wingers, but someone that's good competition.
Yeah, but then they're not scoring. I like this shout for a striker. All right, I've got Houston Dash. They have dealt with a lot this year. They got Mackenzie Roby in the offseason, and then she gets injured. That is a huge loss for the Houston attack. A huge loss. And they have not filled that hole yet. They then send Yasmin Ryan and Delaney Sheehan off to Denver. So they have money. Spend it, Houston. Spend it on a winger. They need a great winger. They have so much youth. They have Olmark. They have Kate Fosse. They have Kat Radar, Leah Klinke. But they can't rely on these rookies to, you know, come up big when the spotlight is the brightest. It is a long season. If they're rookies, they're used to their college season being done now. We still have two-thirds of the season left to go. They need veterans and they need depth to come into this roster, because once you start getting off the bench for Houston Dash, it lacks a little bit. There's a bit of a drop off. So I'm going a great winger to help set up some of these young players and really contribute with them in the attack, but a wide player that's going to whip crosses in, that's going to cut inside, go 1v1, and also spread out the field a little bit, use the width a little bit more for Houston Dash. So that's what I want for the Dash, a winger.
Can you also imagine being a manager going to your GM and having these conversations? Like, this is what I need. How hard is it? Like, this is what I need. I need this. I need that.
No. I don't think it should be that hard because it's like, hello, watch our games. This is what we need. But then when the GM comes back and says, yeah, we're not going to do that. That's what I'm saying.
It's like, how much do they cost? You know,
Well, the challenge, I think, a lot of with these teams too is, what are we making it attractive for this big player to come and play here? Are we going to get the best out of them? Are we going to give them the best? I think that's where a lot of these bottom of the table teams, where we're like, hey, these are the needs.
How are we attracting it? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And if you're not in a very profitable market, or, you know, Angel City, right? How else are you getting them? You got to be playing really good brand of football, or at least make it enticing, or pay the players. Well, yes. And pay the players. Seattle, Jen, what do you think about the Rain?
I think I'm more looking for like a creative midfielder. I think when with Jess Fishlock, you know, having injuries and, you know, who can replace our athleticism, who can replace our dominating midfield. I feel like they have attacking pieces. It's about that final sort of cutting edge in the midfield. Who can give more creativity to the forward line? That would be what I would be looking at, because Seattle looked good in spells.
Yeah, they're very predictable. I think an attacking midfielder would, you know, shake it up a bit. I like that shout for them. Darian, Denver Summit.
Last but not least, Denver Summit, baby. What do they need? Nothing. This team is set. This team is so good. Guys, they have Lindsay Heaps after this national team window where she's going and playing Brazil, captaining the U.S. Women's National Team, is going to her home state in Denver. I mean, the middle of the pitch with Lynch, Sheehan, Yamamoto, Heaps, and they have Kostler up top. Yes, like
Tosh Flint has been great for them too. Yeah,
yes, so Tosh Flint. Like this team, I actually think they have champagne problems with Heaps coming, because she's going to be the captain, the leader, I think, clearly. Mm-hmm. Who are they going to put around her? How do they get the best formula on the pitch to be above that playoff mark line? So I don't think they need anything. It's just a matter of how do you manage all of that now.
I agree that they don't need anything. I don't even think they needed Delaney Sheehan and Yaz Ryan, and they still get those players. So, like, I would not be afraid if Nick Cushing signed someone else. It may not be, like, a superstar player, because they already have that coming in with Heaps, but, like, more depth. Some other younger players that talk about making an attractive club for players want to go to. Everyone wants to go to Denver right now. They are playing fun football. It is a cool city. They are entertaining. They're scoring goals. The crowd is on fire.
They definitely don't look like an expansion team. We will say that. And that is, like, probably the biggest positive you can say for a team coming into the league. So,
yeah.
What a compliment you can put. So we did the bottom half of the table, our grades, and then we did our transfer needs. We will be looking at the top half of the table, the transfer market needs, also the grades for all of them. That's going to be a future episode of A3, because we're out of time today, ladies. We had some really good conversations, a great interview with Scarlett Cambreros, and this was a fun one. Jen, D, thanks. Thanks for hanging with us. How are the animals, D? We got to check in.
I don't know if you can see the turkey back there.
It's
really mean.
Oh.
All right, get out there. Go get your cowgirl boots on and your hat and get out there slinging mud around. So fun. Thank you, ladies, so much for hanging with us. For everyone who listened, who watched, who joined us, let us know what you think about our grades and our transfer needs. Give us some constructive feedback. We want to hear how it is. Comments, replies, all the things. And thanks so much. We will be back. We've got the U.S. playing this weekend, and we will be live following that game right here on W. Galazzo YouTube. So we will see you then. For Jen, Darian, Audrey, and Trey, I'm Lisa. This was Attacking Third. Podcasts.